Let's, if we could, go to the Mark chapter 11, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 11. So 3 weeks ago, we started a series on prayer. What could be more important for the Christian than prayer, than communication, fellowship with our Heavenly Father? And 3 weeks ago, we understood that we cannot come to prayer with sin in our heart, that we must keep short accounts with God. As we read in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked in Proverbs 28:9 and other passages, which made it clear, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. When we come to prayer, not only must we have our sins confessed, but we must have a right attitude toward the Word of God. Now, last week, we looked at this passage where Jesus withered the fig tree, and the disciples marveled, and Jesus explained to them, notice in verse 20, this is the parallel passage that we looked at last week in Matthew. It says, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up by the roots, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto them, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, that whatsoever things you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And so we understood last week that we cannot come to our prayer life with doubt. We must believe with all of our hearts that our God is an all-powerful God and can do anything. If we come with doubt, it will hinder our prayers. So we understood, first of all, that unconfessed sin will hinder our prayers. We understood, second of all, that a wrong attitude toward the Word of God will hinder our prayers. And then last week, doubt. Doubting God, not having faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. Will hinder our prayers. And today, we continue this passage here in Mark 11 and understand a fourth thing that we must take note of in regards to our fellowship with God in prayer. Notice verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So the title of the message is, when you stand praying, forgive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we come with expectant hearts. Lord, we want to hear from you, from your powerful word. And Lord, we want to be prayer warriors. We want to have sweet fellowship with you as our Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus. So Lord, may we truly take to heart these great truths and apply them to our own lives, our own walk. Lord, that our fellowship with you might be sweet and that we might see answers to prayer every day. And so, Lord, we pray for your will in every heart. We pray you'll just work miracles in this service, that the Holy Spirit would be among us and do a mighty work in our lives. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, would be magnified. We love you so much and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And so Jesus, in explaining to his disciples there in that earlier passage, said, you must believe. You must have faith. As he said there in verse 22, have faith in God. But then he completed his lesson, if you will, on prayer by explaining that if there's unforgiveness in our lives, in our hearts, it's going to hinder our prayers. And you know, this surprisingly is one of the toughest things for Christians. Even though it is the heart of Christianity, I mean, if it wasn't for forgiveness, we'd all be going to hell. And as we'll see, God very clearly explains that we are to forgive as God forgave. And we'll understand what that means, but there are no exceptions, there are no excuses. And yet, I find, as a pastor, when people come to me, it just amazes me how many times Christians are unwilling to forgive. And they're holding on to offenses and bitterness. And it's hindering their walk with God. And so Jesus makes it very clear here in verse 25. When you stand praying, forgive. When you come to God, when you come into your prayer closet, when you come to fellowship with your Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ, Forgive. That's so clear. Forgive. Make sure that there's nothing in your life that you've not dealt with in this matter of forgiveness. And I know that the Holy Spirit, who is God, who indwells us at salvation, is already speaking to many believers in this room about unforgiveness. That's just the way things are. That there are people that you've not forgiven. There are things you've not let go. There are things that you continue to tell others about, the offenses that you've had. You continue to dwell on it, and it's hindering your prayer life. When you stand praying, forgive. If you would, turn back to Matthew 6. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 6 gave us what I like to refer to as the model prayer. He wasn't telling us to vainly repeat these words, because he told us in the same passage that we're not to use vain repetitions. But what he did give us was the elements of prayer that we need to have when we come to our Heavenly Father, things like praise and so forth. But one of the things he mentions in this model prayer here in Matthew chapter 6, he says, verse 12, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Forgiveness is to be part of our prayer lives. As we're reading here in Mark, when you stand praying, forgive. Don't allow unforgiveness, which, by the way, turns into bitterness, to hinder your fellowship with your holy Heavenly Father. Another passage, if we could, Matthew 5, just back one chapter from Matthew 6. Jesus here, again, reminding us about the importance of having right relationships with one another. Verse 23, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Get it dealt with first, then come to God. That's always been God's principle. You read in the Old Testament law about restitution, about normal things, like if somebody's cow wanders into somebody else's paddock and dies for whatever reason, the person on whose land he died, he not only had to return the cow, but 20% more. That's called restitution, making things right. And in the New Testament, we're commanded to make things right. And it has to be from the heart. Look at Matthew 18 now, if you would. Jesus Christ tells a parable, which we're going to look at later. But in this parable, he makes a statement about the heart and forgiveness, and it's such an important phrase, because it's easy for people to say, "Okay, I forgave them," but you didn't really, because you keep telling everybody else about the offense, you keep talking about it, keep dwelling on it. Notice Jesus says at verse 35 of Matthew 18, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." So Jesus says it, from your hearts. The forgiveness must come from the heart. You say it's impossible. No, it's not, because God lives in us. And God makes it possible. So let's go back to our passage, Mark 11, verse 25. The first point I want to make this morning is that forgiveness must be part of our prayer lives. Jesus has made it clear. When you stand praying, forgive. Notice the second point that he makes in verse 25. If you have aught against any. And so the second thing we point out in this passage is that there are no exceptions. Because we want there to be exceptions. Oh, you don't understand. The hurt was too much. It was, God doesn't expect me to forgive this. There are no exceptions. You say, that's just not fair. It's not about being fair. It's about being right. And God is always right. And God will always, always deal with what needs to be dealt with, but He wants us in our hearts to learn to forgive as He forgave. He says, if you have aught against any, there's no exceptions in Christianity. The Bible makes it very clear in Ephesians 4:32, let's turn over there, that our forgiveness is to be a reflection of God's forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32. Why is it that we don't forgive? Well, it's usually, as with most of our sins, the root cause is pride. About who's right and who's wrong. And let's face it, that's not the issue with God. The issue isn't who's right and who's wrong. The issue is who's willing to obey God and forgive. And then if you're right and they're wrong, God will take care of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He has big shoulders. Notice Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's our standard. As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How much did God forgive when we got saved? Everything. Praise God. The Bible says in Colossians 2:13, He hath forgiven us all trespasses. All of them. And many of our trespasses are much more serious than the ones that we're refusing to forgive from other people. There are no exceptions. He says, if you have aught against any. If it wasn't for forgiveness, we wouldn't be going to heaven. That's the truth of the matter. The Bible says in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Praise God. Our transgressions, when we get saved, are gone. The Bible says they're in the depths of the sea. He's cast them behind His back. They're gone. They're covered by the blood of Jesus. God did that. Did He do it because we deserved it? No. Did He do it because the sins weren't that big? No. He did it because of the nature of God. Because God loved us enough to forgive us through the merits of what Jesus did on Calvary. And God in return wants us to learn to forgive the same way. And so in our passage here in Mark 11, we see first of all, it must be part of our prayer lives. We cannot have prayer without forgiveness. Second of all, there are no exceptions. And then, of course, third of all, in verse 26, sin will hinder, or the sin of unforgiveness will hinder our prayer lives. No question about it. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, this is not talking about going to heaven or not going to heaven. Going to heaven has to do with Jesus, salvation. This is talking about our fellowship with our Heavenly Father, like we looked in that first week. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Unforgiveness is one of those iniquities that we must remove, or it will hinder our prayer lives. And as long as we hold on to those things, our fellowship with God isn't sweet. It isn't what it needs to be. We need to remove them out of the way. And if we don't forgive, go back to Ephesians 4 if you would. Do you know what unforgiveness turns into? It turns into bitterness. Bitterness, the Bible equates it to like a cancer. And it says that when people have it, it even affects those around them in Hebrews chapter 12. Because what bitterness is when you allow unforgiveness to fester, it turns into bitterness. And the word bitterness, the underlying word there is talking about something being sour or very acidic. That's exactly what happens, isn't it? It becomes very sour and acidic in our lives, and it eats away from the inside. That's what bitterness does. Notice verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bitterness must be put away. Unforgiveness is unacceptable in the sight of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ made it so clear to us, go back to Matthew 6 again if you would, the model prayer, that if we are going to have an effective fellowship time with God, which we must have, every day we must spend time with our Lord. He's our best friend. He's the one that saved us. He created us for fellowship. But when we do come to Him, we must come to Him with forgiveness. Notice verse 14 of Matthew 6. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You cannot find any exceptions in the Bible. But you can certainly find Jesus and God's Word telling us over and over again that unforgiveness hinders prayer. So it comes down to a choice on our part. Do we forgive? Do we give it to God? Or do we hold on to it? Now, we can choose to hold on to it. God created us with a free will. We can choose to be bitter. We can choose to just keep beating it up and bringing it up and holding it against that person. But it's going to hinder that sweet fellowship that God wants us to have. Why? Well, because essentially what we're saying to God, if you go to Matthew chapter 18, what we're saying to God when we won't forgive is that His forgiveness wasn't enough. And He told us a parable to explain this to us. Now, this parable was given for one reason and one reason only, to teach us what it looks like to God when we refuse to forgive. Notice verse 23 of Matthew 18. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants when he had begun to reckon? One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I've heard a lot of different estimates, but most people say if you take into account inflation, blah, 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 that's at least $1 billion in today's money. I'd say that's a pretty good amount of money. Now, Jesus chose a big number on purpose because he's making a point. 10,000 talents. That forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. That's a great story. And that is a picture of what happens to us. We came to God with a debt that we absolutely could not pay. The only way to pay our debt is to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. And God said, I forgive you. Isn't that amazing? I forgive you all your sins. Who knows how many there are? Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. The good news is we'll never know. Amen? Because they're gone if you're saved. But we came to God with this debt and there's just no way we could pay it. And we said, Lord, thank you that Jesus died for us on the cross. Thank you that you placed our sin on him. And please, I pray you'll save me from my sins. And he did. And he said, as this man said, I forgive you your debt. And wouldn't it be great if the parable stopped right there? But it doesn't. Because now Jesus wants to teach us a lesson. He goes on to say in verse 28, but that same servant, the one that was just forgiven the $1 billion debt, this same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And in today's money, it's maybe $1,000. In other words, compared to the other debt, it's just ridiculously small. And what did he do? He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after they had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? This is one of those parables. We know what Jesus is saying. We know what he's trying to teach us. It's so clear. We are the servant. Jesus is the Lord. He forgave us everything. And yet sometimes we won't forgive. Sometimes a petty thing. And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not. That's what it looks like to God, and that's why Jesus gave us the parable. And that's why he's made it so very clear to us there in Mark chapter 11, that when we come to our prayer closet, come with forgiveness. You have forgiven all offenses. Many of them are going to be tough. Many of them are going to be difficult. Many of them are going to be very painful. But there are no exceptions. And if we choose to hold on to them, we are hindering. We're still going to heaven, but we're hindering our fellowship with God and thereby hindering our prayers. And And so Jesus, after encouraging his disciples there in Mark 11 by saying, if you just have faith, if you just believe God, he'll do anything for you. But then he, in the next two verses, qualifies it by saying, oh, and by the way, if you have aught against any, forgive. When you stand praying, forgive. Because you know what? The disciples were human too. And they had a problem with unforgiveness as well. One time the disciples saw some people that they thought were against Jesus, and they said, Jesus, is it okay if we call fire down from heaven and burn all these people up? Because that would sure be fun. Because we have the power to do it right now that you gave to us. Did Jesus give them permission to burn them all up? No. But they wanted to. And that's our underlying old nature, isn't it? Oh, they hurt me. I want to burn them up. But that's not our new nature. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, we've been given a divine nature. When we were born again, God moved in. Amen? Now we're to be a different person. A person that can forgive like Christ forgave. So when you stand praying, forgive. The thing is, the Holy Spirit who lives within us doesn't allow there to be secrets. And when we go to our prayer closet, we already know if we haven't forgiven because the Holy Spirit keeps